Hey, and welcome to another edition of Writers Love Radio. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And as we do every week, we sat down and watched some cool shows that you should probably be watching if you're listening to this shit. Seriously.
I don't,
watch the shows.
I don't think they're going to listen to this without watching at least one of them, Jeff. I hope.
We've gotten some messages saying differently.
I know Ghosts, people quit Ghosts, that's fine. That's understandable.
Oh, yeah.
But give X-Aid a shot.
X-Aid's good so far. Not to give spoilers already, but...
Yeah, everyone's turned it off now. They already know what we think.
They already know. They wait until we say one thing about how we feel about it, and then they turn that shit off.
Why else would you listen? Why else would you listen to RCR?
Why would you listen anyway, is my question.
That's...
This week we watched X-Aid Episode 3 and Animal Sentai Jiwoger Episode 34.
Isn't it crazy? We're so far along in Jiwoger. It feels like it just started yesterday.
Yeah. I don't know. Ghost was such a slog, but Jiwoger still felt like it was going by rapidly.
Jiwoger's a roller coaster ride.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
But first, why don't you tell us what happened on X-Aid this time?
Okay, so this week on Kamen Rider X-Aid.
Do it right this time.
Okay, so a kid comes into the special crimes unit. I mean, he comes to the hospital and he's sick. He has an illness. He has a bugster illness.
I thought it was the same kid from last time. He's wearing the same kind of outfit and everything.
I think there's going to be a lot of kids in this show with the main character being a pediatrician and all.
Well, so, that's what I love about fucking Kamen Rider is all the child actors.
All the children. So this kid comes in. And he's got to be treated because he has the bugster virus, but he hates doctors. So he's stressed out about doctors because he got a really nasty injury one time. So, like, he associates them.
When children hate things, or are scared of things, or are stressed out by things, they immediately run the fuck away and no one stops them.
They yell, "I hate you!" And then they sprint out of whatever building they're in. And no adult can catch them after that. They're a force of nature.
That's something that Japanese people don't talk about, is that their children all have super speed up until age, like, 12.
It's a genetic problem, I think. So he runs out of the hospital, and then the gritty ex-doctor, Snipe, catches him. What's Snipe's name again? I've forgotten
already. Taiga.
Taiga. Taiga. How can I forget a name
Taiga,
like Taiga?
Taiga, Taiga,
Taiga. Catches him, and he's like, I'm gonna treat you, kid. I'm gonna treat you so good.
Oh my god, it's this kind of show?
And the kid's
I didn't know I was watching Law & Order SVU.
The kid gets so spooked that he turns into a giant gun made out of meatballs.
Thankfully, we don't see that for very long.
Thank god. So, Taiga turns into Kamen Rider Snipe, and he fights all the bugsters. He starts fighting, he beats the meatball, and he starts fighting the real ones, but the kid gets so stressed out by seeing him fight, because it's violent, and he's scared.
Yeah, he's not even, like, a doctor anymore. He's, like, shooting a gun, and it keeps doing, like, close-ups of the guns firing. Like, he's afraid of the gun.
Maybe he was shot. Maybe that was his injury.
I feel like we would have seen something about that.
to be fair, what with how tightly controlled guns are in Japan is probably not likely, but...
Yeah, just seeing a gun in general was probably like, oh my god!
What's that?
That kills people with one press!
I guess he got freaked out by seeing all the violence. And the more stressed he is, the stronger the bugster becomes. It's one of those kinds of monsters. So it doesn't really solve anything. They just grab the kid and run away while Snipe fights. So they keep him in the pit, they keep him in the bed, and they take their eyes off of him for 2 seconds, and he again uses his flash speed. He uses the fucking speed force.
He's not only just the Flash, right? He doesn't just have super speed. He's also, like, fucking Solid Snake. No one can see him when he doesn't want to be seen.
They turn around, and they're like, well, we should take care of this kid. And then they turn back around, he's just fucking gone. He runs off.
Fucking places, like, what, 20 stories beneath the earth or whatever? How the fuck did he get out of there?
He ran.
He just runs out the front door, right? And there's, like, a security guard standing right there who doesn't even look at him.
Well, this must be a kid who's just been discharged. I guess I'll let him go.
I'm sure he filled out all the paperwork himself, and now he's going to drive home.
So the kid runs off, and he, of course, he gets attacked by a bugster again. And after Emu gets told, he gets told about Taiga's thing. Taiga used to be a rider for the CR, but he was disbarred after he fucked up an operation and killed someone. So he got his license taken away, and he's a gritty ex-doctor now. He's disgraced. So that they learn his thing, And they go to fight the Bugster, and Taiga says, hey, I'm a huge asshole. How about X-Aid, me and you, we have a contest to see who can get the most points. Who gets the most Bugster kills? And whoever wins...
An important thing to note right now.
What?
Emu never accepts this. He never says, yes, let's do it. He never says, I accept. Nothing.
Well, he accepts it implicitly because there's a big score counter. A big fight breaks out. A big fight breaks out. There's a big, long, long fight scene. And there's a score counter. So they're having like a big kill competition. And Brave shows up for no reason to join the scene as well. Just because they want to do it. They have a big kill competition. There's a big, huge fight. They change levels. And then Brave wusses out because he's almost out of health. And X-Aid goes in for the finisher, but then Snipe keeps fighting him. Because he's like, oh, this, the goal of the game is to beat the other players. So after the big fight scene, Snipe gets the final kill. He gets more kills. And he takes the Mighty Action X Gishat and leaves. But the kid gets saved, so it's okay. That was X-Aid number 3. Jeff, what did you think?
It was a pretty good episode. I liked it.
Yeah, I liked it too. I can't say it was perfect, but I liked it.
No. It had its problems. Like I said, I get that Emu's supposed to be, like, the nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's maybe a little... He hasn't been implicitly called spineless or done anything spineless. He's always stood up for himself when necessary.
Yeah.
But for some reason, at the end of the episode, when the guy's like, alright, when Taiga's like, alright, I won, give me your gashat, he, like, looks at it for a second and then lets him take it. Even though he didn't agree to the competition whatsoever, and that's his only way to transform.
Yeah, I'm not sure what exactly was going on with that scene still. It reminded me of
like a mid-early Heisei show, like a Fives or something, where characters just immediately become spineless for the purpose of the story.
I think it's more like a, I don't know, it's like an honor thing. Maybe he didn't accept, but he participated. Fair and square.
He was trying to save the kid.
But he was doing it. There was a score counter, okay? He implicitly accepted.
He didn't fucking make the score counter. The belts did.
That didn't make a score counter before. When he and Brave were fighting, there was no score counter.
So he mentally made a score counter.
That's the power the belts have. He thought really hard about the score. Because he knew he was going to be having a contest.
Dude, there is a moment of sheer fucking genius in this episode.
What's that?
That, like, this metatextual fucking intelligent-ass decision-making by the writers. In every Kamen Rider series, there are scene changes that make absolutely no sense because they need to have a fight scene in a more interesting area or a less crowded area.
Yeah, we talked about that
happens
before.
Happens in every series.
Where they're in an airport and they'll jump and they'll land in the abandoned warehouse.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There is a built-in purposeful thing in this series for leaping from one scene to another. It's level changing. Yeah. The belts have that built in. That's fucking genius.
I don't know what exactly to say about it. It's, I liked the action, but I felt there was too much action, I guess is what I can say. Like, I feel like the action scene went on for fucking ever. I feel like there was so much shit happening and I had so much stuff being thrown at me. This must be what, like, when an old person goes to see, like, when a 70-year-old goes to watch Avengers, this must be what they feel like, because I felt like during the scene when everyone's transforming, there's all these explosions, and I was like, ah, just two, just two riders is okay, that's enough.
And then, it's so loud, turn it down.
I gotta go home and watch JAG. It's,
it Matlock's was, coming on at 9, can we finish this movie?
I just felt like it was a little too much. It was a tad overwhelming, and I had a little trouble following it. It went
a couple steps too far.
Yeah,
it went a little bit too far in a couple of places.
But the action is so good. Like you said, the level transition is brilliant. The fight choreography remains very, very good so far. There is a Tatakai in this show, which I liked a lot.
There's a character specifically made for Tatakai. Snipe. His entire purpose is PvP, and of course it's the shithole that loves FPSs.
Yeah. I like that his game is stuck in development hell. No one's played it. It's not finished yet. It must suck.
I like that too. It sucks like he does.
Oh, I like Snipe. He shakes up
dynamic. I like him too. Yeah. I like him too. And I'm sure once he redeems himself in some way, like maybe he'll sacrifice himself later on or something.
I hope he doesn't.
the game will come out.
The sad thing is, you're probably right, but I really hope, I want at least one rider who isn't Genom to stay antagonistic for the whole show, or at least for the bulk of the show. I really, really want, like, both Brave and Snipe, they both have really interesting character traits that set them against Emu in an interesting way, like, in unique ways, and I want those to stick. I really don't want them to turn into to good guys. I don't want everyone to be friends, at least not too early.
Well, here's, like, the little glimmer of hope for you.
Okay.
Every opening before Gaim and after Gaim was mostly, like, action shots and shit, mm-hmm. and, like, these characters are super awesome. Look at them. Like, look at them posing cool.
Yeah.
But Gaim had this really, like, I wouldn't say in-depth, but it had a lot of symbolism.
With the fences
in the opening.
And the, yeah, the reflections.
And, like, characters disappearing and stuff, and that's happening in Xaid's opening.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
There's, like, symbolism that I don't get yet in Xaid's opening,
and
which
I guess,
makes me hopeful.
And I guess there is that shot that I like in Xaid's opening where all the riders are just fucking fighting each other in a circle, which I guess they wouldn't put there if that wasn't going to be constant. So that's pretty good.
It wasn't going to be, like, a huge chunk anyway.
Yeah, so that's a good sign. I just hope, because I really love their dynamic right now. I like their dynamic as it is right now. There's the guy who's by the book doctor who hates all of his colleagues because they suck, and the guy who is super competitive and wants to beat everyone and take all their shit, and in the middle is the sort of everyman, the hapless. He's got a strong moral code, but he's at the same time he's not very good at what he does, and that's a really good, like, core cast to have in this kind of show.
Yo, he's a genius gamer though.
He's a genius gamer, but in terms of being a writer, he's got heart and not much else. Like we were talking about that last week with Brave. How, like, he completely shows up Xaid in that episode. I like that dynamic they have where just Hero is just better in every way. So it's a really good setup for a show like this, and I hope it continues. I hope they can do interesting things with it without moving away from it.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
And like you were talking about, there are a few missteps in this episode where they take things a little bit too far, like, I get the purpose of showing the monsters coming back to life over and over because the child's fear is what's causing it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like one or two instances of that too much.
Yeah.
That could have been cut that didn't really have a purpose.
Yeah, I can hear you there, yeah. It's just
I mean, these are like small nitpicks, really.
Yeah.
But that's what this show's about. We're supposed to be pointing out what we like and what we don't like.
We're gonna pick those nits all day.
I really still like Emu a lot. I love that somebody pointed out that his personality switches and all he says is, yes, so?
Yeah.
You got a problem with that?
they acknowledge it. It's not just a show thing. I do like that.
And it was a show don't tell thing, and once you've shown, you can tell afterwards.
As long as you don't do it obnoxiously, yeah. Yeah.
Well, the thing about Ghost is that they never showed. It was all tell.
Yeah, exactly.
That was annoying as fuck.
All of the character traits in Ghost are informed to you. They're not shown.
The only thing that I'm afraid of, and is, Drive wasn't that long ago, right? And my biggest pet peeve with Drive, besides the fact that it dragged for quite a long time, was how poorly Go's character was treated. Like, not by other characters, I mean by, like, the writing.
By the writer, yeah.
Like, they just completely fucking forgot that what his personality was, like, 5 or 6 episodes after he was introduced.
Yeah.
And they just never picked it up again, for the most part.
I liked his
arc,
though.
The movies get it right.
I liked Go's arc in the show a lot, though. He was one of the most interesting characters in Drive, I thought, with the whole thing with Thanos.
His arc is great.
Yeah.
But he never regains his, like, they introduced a personality that they didn't continue at all.
Yeah,
like, he didn't change gradually into the character he was for a while. He just immediately became him.
Yeah, I can hear you there. If there was like an event that changed him or something, yeah.
That was my big problem with Drive, and I guess like the movies corrected that in a lot of ways because Go is Go in those movies.
Yeah, except in the one where he fucking dies.
Well, he comes back to life and then dies again. Then he comes back to life, so it's fine.
He comes back to life in the TV special that no one watched.
anyway, this isn't the Drivecast.
Not anymore.
What I'm worried about with this, with Xsade, is that these characters' personalities that we're being introduced to now, I don't feel confident that they're not going to shift like that. Because the way Ghost was, and the way Go's character was done in Drive, sets a precedent. Like, yeah. Two shows in a row sets a precedent.
I'm gonna disagree with you. I'm gonna say two is a coincidence. Three is a pattern. I'm gonna reserve judgment because this is a different staff.
I'm not judging. I'm just saying I'm a little unsure when I'm watching, and it worries me slightly.
Yeah, I can see that. It's a worry. Yeah. Hopefully, it doesn't come to pass.
Hopefully it doesn't come to pass. There's not really any evidence to prove it just yet. It's just something that hit me when I was watching it earlier, and Sunglasses Man stepped out from behind the wall and said that they had four players now.
Yeah, old Laser, Racer.
Whatever.
Really? Laser? Who?
I want him to be Racer. I really do.
I really excite subs. I need you to get on this. You better call him Racer or else I'm going to protest.
All right, so I think that's really all I have to say about Xsade this time. There wasn't a whole lot besides the introduction of Snipe's character, and he wasn't really focused on all that much. We learned about the Global Freeze incident.
The Global? Yeah, I forgot about that. There's the Global Bugster incident where a lot of people were killed by bugsters.
Yeah, it's the Global Freeze.
The Global Freeze, yeah.
And that's when Snipe killed the guy with a trident.
I feel like fucking up and killing... Well, I guess we don't know the details, but I feel like a lot of surgeons fuck up and kill patients. Like, it probably happens.
Yeah, but I'm sure... Maybe he was, like, fucking spinning it around... Spinning the scalpel around like a gun and shit and showing
they
off.
They say it was because he was obsessed with the power of games, so maybe he tried to dissect someone with an N64 cartridge or something.
He probably killed somebody while being a writer.
Yeah, that's probably
I feel like
it.
That would be difficult to explain to, like, a medical review board when you're trying to get somebody's license taken away.
Well,
he transformed into a rider, and he fucking punched this monster so hard it killed the guy it came out of.
First, I pulled out my plastic gun, and then I hit the B button three times, and it shot a super bullet, but it hit him too good.
I didn't care, I just wanted power.
Okay, fuck it, just take his license away, get out of my office.
What does this have to do with being a doctor?
Take his video games away.
You can't play him for one whole week.
No, no N64 until you say sorry for murdering that guy.
But I think that's all that really happened in this episode. We're getting... I remember when we were talking about, towards the end of Ghost, those episodes. Like, there was so much shit in every episode, we would end up talking about it for, like, 40 minutes or whatever.
I think we did have one where we talked for 40 minutes. It was that bad.
Yeah, Xsade is doling out stuff a little bit more slowly, which might make Liam stop having a hate boner for the fact that they showed three characters in the beginning episode.
That's really fast. That's, like, in recent memory, that's really fast to introduce a writer in episode one, then a second writer in episode two, then a third writer in episode three.
I guess that's true. And there's a fourth one in episode four, but I guess recently that's strange, but it's not, like, unprecedented. It's strange that, like, I don't feel like it's going like a bullet train or anything.
I do. I'm just fucked.
Maybe I'm just not noticing. Maybe I'm just enjoying it so much that I'm not paying attention to that.
I'm enjoying it, for sure. I did like this episode, but I think the show overall is moving a tad too quick for me. Like I said, I'm an old man. I'm an old man watching the Avengers.
I could see that. I really could. For some reason, it just doesn't feel that way to me, though.
Okay.
I'm not going to say that you're wrong or anything this time.
Not
this time.
You're being uncharacteristically nice tonight, Jeff. What happened?
I'm in a good mood. I carved a cool pumpkin earlier.
I saw. You posted a picture of it. It's a witch.
Yeah.
Very nice.
I carved the Wicked Witch of the West.
Very nice.
Thank you. Nobody will know what the fuck, because I didn't post it on RCR, but whatever.
It's not a Kamen Rider pumpkin, so it's not going on the RCR Twitter.
No,
not this
year. Maybe next year, if Rider Club Radio hasn't shut down due to us fucking killing each other. But now that we're done talking about Xsade, why don't we hear about the news?
Yes, I have good news stories.
I know that you have a big news story this time.
I have some big news stories.
Although, if anybody watched the episode, they know the big one already.
Wait, are you talking about the trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a trailer for the new Kamen Rider movie, the Kamen Rider Hero Superhero Wars, the next one, with all the riders in it. And it shows, it doesn't show much, it shows a bit of CG Pac-Man footage, and shows all the Legend Riders running around. But, you can't really tell much from it.
There is a voiceover, and the voiceover says, "The greatest evil in history is coming. Dr. Pac-Man."
Dr. Pac-Man, oh no. So it is
He's
really,
the villain, you're right.
I was right
last time.
All Riders versus Pac-Man.
I thought in the back of my head at that time, of course it couldn't be this stupid, right? They couldn't make Pac-Man into the villain, beloved fucking mascot of Namco, Bandai. But no, he's the greatest evil in history. Like, Great Leader ain't got shit on Dr. Pac-Man.
Could you imagine going back like a year or 2 years and be like, yeah, guys, in a couple years there's going to be a Movie Wars movie? And the villain is going to be Pac-Man. Like, literally Pac-Man. Not like a ripoff or anything, just literally Pac-Man.
Yeah, nobody would have believed you.
No. No, you get laughed out of the office. You get laughed out of the Rider Club Radio office.
John Toei would start, like, pulling on his neck collar, like, "Ooh, where did you find out about this?"
So, yeah, that's happening.
I can't believe that shit. I really, really can't.
It's weird. It's so weird. But that's
like,
cool.
How are they going to do it?
I don't know.
Are they going to have like a giant CG Pac-Man with like a fucking doctor smock hanging from his orb?
I don't know. It's a mystery.
Wouldn't it be hilarious? Like fucking 10 out of 10 hilarious. If it was a guy wearing like a doctor's lab coat and like white gloves and pants, you know, full doctor outfit.
Mm-hmm.
With a little tag that says Dr. Pac-Man in English and a huge plastic Pac-Man head at the top of it.
That'd be the perfect... That's the best case scenario. Don't expect that.
Dude, that would be the fucking tits. I'd love that. And every time he talked, like, the big Pac-Man jaw would move while he was talking.
Oh my god. That's too perfect.
Nah, it's gonna be a big CGI abomination.
Yeah, probably. So that's pretty cool. You can check that out if you watch X-Save this week.
Wouldn't it be funny as well if they had, like, heard about Dr. Pac-Man from his fucking henchmen or whatever the whole movie, and they finally confront him in this big, dark, black room, and he comes out of the shadows, and it's just a regular, giant CG Pac-Man going, "Wanga, wanga, 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 wanga." And he never says a word, and that's it. And then the camera pans back, and the black room is, like, the middle room in the maze.
Oh, that'd be perfect. That sounds like something that might actually happen. They might do the maze. I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised either, but goddamn, that would be amazing if he never spoke a real line at all, and he just made the waka waka noise.
Oh, God.
The greatest evil in history.
I guess maybe he's just going to eat everything or something. Maybe he's threatening to eat the whole world.
Maybe it's the movie Pixels.
Oh, fuck, I didn't make that comparison.
I'm not the first one, too.
Oh, fuck, Adam Sandler.
Our like, long-time listener... sometimes writer on Twitter made that Renato Costa.
Oh, yeah.
He said, "Quick, somebody call Adam Sandler."
I tried to watch The Ridiculous Six recently, speaking of Adam Sandler.
Why?
Me and my friends, we had some beers and we had Netflix, and we were like, "Let's see what's on Netflix." And I took the controller and put it on The Ridiculous Six, and we said, "Okay, fuck it." So we started watching The Ridiculous Six. And we watched it, even while drunk, we watched it for about 10 minutes before everyone was trying to wrestle the controller out of my hands, and a couple punches were thrown, but we had to turn it off eventually.
Yeah, I haven't seen an Adam Sandler movie that even made me chuckle since, I don't know, maybe Little Nicky.
Happy Gilmore?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Adam Sandler fucking sucks. If you like Adam Sandler, go fuck yourself.
We're only respectful of Toku opinions. Everything else can fuck off.
We're not supposed to say... Liam gets mad at me when I say things like that. And he tries to edit it out, but fuck him.
Oh. He said the magic words. Now I can't get rid of it.
Any more news past Dr. Pac-Man?
Yeah, so there was a new trailer coming up for All Kamen Rider Revolution.
This game's gonna suck dick.
No. There's something real in this one.
Okay.
All copies of the game that you get will include a download code for Mighty Action X for your 3DS.
Really?
So remember how we were saying, hey, that Mighty Action X game looks real. It is real. Yeah, you can get it and play it if you buy all Kamen Rider Revolution.
That's pretty sick. I wonder if people are going to be selling their codes and shit.
I don't know. It's probably region locked, so you're not going to...
Yeah.
Unless you hack your
3DS. I
want to
play Mighty Action X so bad.
I do kind of want to play Mighty Action X, but you have to play it on a WonderSwan for ultimate authenticity. I don't know how that's going to
work. Maybe they'll release it for a WonderSwan. It'll be the last game ever released for the WonderSwan.
Oh, God. I don't think you even could.
I don't know.
Who cares?
I don't know much about the WonderSwan. I live on the wrong side of the ocean for that shit.
Yeah. We got a couple news about Ghost Gaiden, the story of... A couple of news about Ghost Gaiden, the story of Kamen Rider Spectre, whatever it's called. I can't be fucking bothered to remember the title, okay?
Who cares?
There's gonna be a super...
I meant about the whole story.
Duh!
Who cares? It sucks!
There's an icon that came out for DX, for Shin Spectre. It's a new form that's gonna be in the show, or in the special, called Shin Spectre.
Man, they just keep shitting these toys out that no one's ever going to buy.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention that, because it just looks like an infinity icon with some horns on the side of the infinity symbol. That's Shin Spectre, so look forward to that.
I like how they pushed so hard that, like, Spectre's form was, like, the evil version of Ghost's form or whatever. But he wasn't evil at all. He was a really nice guy.
Yeah. Ghost was a bad show.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Also, remember how, Jeff, you kept saying this special was going to be shit, and I said, no, Jeff, the V-cinemas could be different. Sometimes they're bad, sometimes they're good. I found out today that the main writer on this V-cinema is going to be the guy who wrote Ghost, Takuro Fukuda, so if I was
how
wrong.
How is he, like, still working?
I don't know! I don't know how he still has work. It's a mystery. It's
I don't
a
know,
fucking.
Was Ghost popular in Japan?
It's the eighth wonder of the world that this man is still being paid money to do things.
I don't know if Ghost was popular in Japan or not.
I asked a Japanese dude online who lived in Japan, hey, what do Japanese people think of Ghost? And he said they think it was shit.
There you go.
I don't know. He also said X8 looked like shit, though, so.
Oh.
You know.
Is that like going to V and asking about a new game that's out right now, though?
That's true. You might be right.
What do you guys think of this? It's shit!
Yeah.
Have you played it yet? No. It's terrible, though. How many FPS does it move at? if it doesn't move at 190,000, I don't want to play that shit.
It's true. It's the truth.
But the human eye can only see 4 FPS.
So. Speaking of guidance... There is going to be a drama CD all about Kamen Rider Mach coming out soon.
Man, they're still milking that, huh?
Still, it's Mach, too. Mach is getting a lot of love these days.
Yeah, well, Mach's got a really fucking awesome design, and he's a cool character, so...
Yeah, it's about him wandering around trying to restore Chase, trying to revive
Chase.
Also, he's
the only rider that still has a belt, so...
Yeah, I guess Belt San is deep underground.
Yeah, he could come out only when Leonardo da Vinci is rampaging.
So yeah, that's happening soon. It's about him trying to figure out how to revive Chase. So that's cool. It's a drama CD. No visuals.
So, nobody could sub that shit. Unless they just put it on, like, a still image.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that, but people,
I don't think anybody ever subs those.
No one does drama CDs, no. It's not a huge loss.
Yeah, I guess so. And it being a drama CD, like, the further away from the actual television show you get with media related to it, the more batshit insane it becomes.
Fucking Exhibit A, all Kamen Rider novels.
Yes.
A lot of them.
That is Exhibit A, right there. So, who knows, Mark could, like, resurrect, like, a zombie horror monster Chase who he has to put down with a shotgun in the final chapter.
Mach can end up eating his own mother's shit. You never know. I can't believe that happened in an official Kamen Rider story. I can't believe...
What if that was just, like, a hoax that, like, the Japanese told us just to fuck with us?
To throw off the Americans so that the attack would be easier? Like, why would they do that?
Because it's funny. It'd be funny as shit if it turned out that that was just completely made up. It wasn't in that at all.
I like the bit when Ren and fucking Yui are friends with benefits and they fuck in the room where Ren's comatose girlfriend is. That's my favorite part of that book.
It really makes Ren seem to be like the great hero who stands up for what he believes in.
Yeah,
that we all know him to be.
Yeah, it doesn't completely ruin the edge on his character. Nope.
No. It doesn't make the fact that he wants to bring his girlfriend back to life more than anything seem, like, completely fucking weird at all.
Well, he needs to have someone for a threesome, Jeff.
I guess. He's just fucking Yui. He's just fucking her.
He's fucking her.
He wants someone to love.
Yeah, exactly. You can't love Yui. Ugh.
It's... Liam is fucking spitting fire today. He's not holding back anymore.
Yui's actress is looking at this like, oh my god.
I thought they'd talk about me on the show eventually, but not like this. For as much as you've talked about Ryuki, I think that is the first moment you've ever talked about Yui on
is
the
it?
Show.
I think it is.
I think you might have told that story before.
I think I'm
friends with benefits.
I've mentioned her in this specific context before, but it's the only time I ever talk about Yui is when she's fucking read in that book.
Her entire point in that show is to have a place where they can fucking live.
So they can live in her cafe.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I don't think I'll be listening to that CD because I don't understand Japanese.
That's true. A bunch of new scans came out of new forms and stuff. I'm not going to talk about them too much because they're really spoilerific and there's a shitload of stuff in there, but I'll post them in the blog post so you can take a look.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that at all because I don't want to be spoiled on them.
Oh, you don't want... Yeah, okay. They look pretty whacked. That's all I'll say. They're wacky.
Are they cool? Are they, like, X-Aid cool?
They're X-Aid cool.
There we go.
They're not cool. They're X-Aid cool.
Everybody who has started out not liking X-Aid always cites the fact that it looks stupid as fuck. But then when they start watching it, they always end up liking it.
Yeah, so check out those scans. They're weird. Look at them.
Don't check them out if you're trying to be like me and watch the show for what it's meant to be.
Oh, come on, man.
That's probably not true at all. Like, everybody in Japan knows all the forms, like, 30 fucking months ahead of time.
I know people who read all the plot synopses, like, weeks ahead.
Why would you do that?
Now that, I'm fine looking at scans of forms, because that's just forms. It's not really, most of them don't spoil the story. But
I actually do want to see them. I'm not going to lie to you.
I can show you them later.
Alright.
Go check him out. Scroll down and take a look.
Spoil yourself.
Yeah, do it. That is it. That's it for this week. That's my news.
That's all you got?
It was like four stories.
I guess Dr. Pac-Man was good enough for like the stories.
Yeah.
Even though everybody already knew it.
Everybody already...
I gotta put the pressure on you, man. How else are you gonna come out with like the great news stories? The journalistic integrity.
That's true. It's dangerous work, you know, sneaking into Toei headquarters and stealing magazines.
It helps that the Rider Club Radio warehouse is attached to the building, but whatever.
They don't like
it's
it when I go
dangerous.
In there.
It's still dangerous. When he swipes his card to get in the building, they could stop him.
The Ganma Patrols got me once.
Made you watch Ghost all over again.
That's
a punishment worse than death.
They strap you in for the full... fucking 70 hours.
I would rather die. Could they just kill me? Apparently they can't, like, the fucking Ganma patrols can't even kill, like, Onari and Okari, who can't even fucking fight.
They can't kill Kanon. They can't kill a 15-year-old.
Yeah, Kanon kills one of them, even, with her fucking purse.
This incestuous teenager can just fight ghosts all day, apparently.
She's not the incestuous teenager.
Well, she's unknowingly, unknowingly
she is the
or
object.
Knowingly. Hopefully
she is
unknowingly.
The object of his affection.
Yeah, she is hopefully unwillingly on the receiving end of incestuous love.
Let's not get into any of that
now. Let's talk about Ghost.
Let's talk about Animal Sentai Juojo episode 34.
So this is the episode that's all about, well, Bungalow comes up with a plan that he really should have had 7 years ago. But he's after the whale again, and he's going to do it by cloning people from Kubar's memories. He's like, hang on a second. I have all the Juojers in my friend's memories here, so I'll just pull them out of there. So that's his big plan. Jeff, what did you think of this?
It works.
It works really well. Jeff, what did you think of this episode?
This episode has a really great story structure to it, in that we aren't told that Bungle has a plan. He's just working with Kubar right now.
Yeah.
And we are told that the Juojers have a plan, and we're watching them set it up and everything, and it seems like a competent enough plan, sort of.
Mm.
Their idea is to attack him, but to lure him into an attack, I guess.
Into a trap, but, yeah.
I mean, it could have worked. It's a children's show.
Maybe.
And then that shit gets... The script gets flipped, and suddenly they've fallen for Bungle's plan without even realizing it.
Yeah, and it's they do a little hint at the very beginning of the show. They're like, oh, where are these monsters? But they weren't pulled from our memories. Where did he get them? And it builds a little mystery over the course of the 20 minutes. So it's pretty cool. And even you're wondering what happened and how these Juojers come, because you only ever see them use the Juojers' memories and random people's. You never really... Maybe I'm just a fucking idiot, but it never occurred to me that he could just pull them out of Kubar or any
Yeah, you're
ones.
Dumb as fuck. As soon as I saw the monsters, I was like, yeah, he took that from Kubar's memory.
Did not. I must be the target audience for Juojo. I must have the brain of a 7-year-old Japanese boy, because it just did not occur to me at all.
We all knew that about you already.
Oh.
There's lots of great action in this. There's one specific moment where Leo gets knocked backwards and, like, flips off a wall.
Yeah.
That was really fucking sweet. There's a lot of, like, mirror match shit going on, which I love. Like, watching Juo Eagle and Juo Gorilla fight was fucking cool as hell.
It's nice to see the Juo just beating each other up. There's a Tatakai in both episodes.
There is a Tatakai. There are great character moments in this episode as well. Like, when they see the three monsters in the beginning, Yamato's like, alright, let's fucking get him, and he pulls out the champion symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever the fuck it's called, the Juo Whale gun.
The Juo Whale ridiculous toy.
Yeah, that they'll never make full-sized ever, because it's massive.
It's the size of, like, three bowling balls.
And Tusk goes, wait a minute, this seems like a plot to make you bring Juo Whale out, does it not? And everybody's like, holy shit, we're dumb. So then they fight him in their regular mechs, and it shows that Tusk is still the smart one. He's still clever on the uptake.
He's got that, yeah. He's still got that going for him.
There's great callbacks as well, where they're talking about how the whale, like, the fucking whale cube, Cube Whale,
mm-hmm.
is his name.
What's that whale cube's name?
Cube Whale is being obstinate, and, like, he didn't want to join them at first, and now he's being all contrary. And Amu's like, yeah, it reminds us of somebody, doesn't it, Tusk and Mi-chan?
and
they're
Misao
like, oh, shit,
thing.
You're right.
Yeah, Misao does this thing. He's like, oh, yeah, oh, I was like that once. Oh.
Lots of great character moments in this episode.
A lot. I really like that it ends on a cliffhanger, too. It doesn't happen often on Juojer that we get a cliffhanger like this. And then they do that thing that Toei likes to do where it seems like the next episode is going to be everyone getting killed.
Yeah, it's called the end of the Juojers.
The Juojers' final day, which is Showa as fuck.
It really is.
that's straight out of, like, fucking... That's straight out of, like, some show from the 80s or 70s or something.
Like, fucking Bungle wins. Like, his plan works perfectly.
Yeah.
And he wins, and he walks off with Yamato's unconscious body at the end, and nobody can stop him. That's some hardcore shit for this show.
Yeah, I like that. It's a dire situation, and I guess now that the episodes are getting... We're getting into the 30s, we're getting close to the end, the stakes are going up, so it's nice to see.
We were just talking last week or week before, I think, about how Bungle's story arc doesn't seem to be going anywhere. He just seemed to have been, like, he's after the whale.
Yeah.
And that's going to get resolved eventually. So what's the point or whatever? But he's, like, upped his fucking game. Like, this is the end of Bungle that we're seeing coming.
This is probably going to be... Next episode, I think Bungle's probably going to get it.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if they'll kill him, because they tend to kill monsters that haven't had a lot of screen time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's basically like a boss monster, like Kubar is or whatever, and they kill those guys.
I think he's gonna die. I think he's going to get killed.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Maybe. I'm not sure. But I'm really excited to see the next episode. That's something that Juojer does really well when it does have a little bit of a cliffhanger. It sets you up to where you're super excited for the next episode.
Yeah, Juojer does that pretty consistently. It's a nice little two-parter. Not enough two-parters in this show.
And we are past the point, I think, where it's like the missile show with the Juojer's guest starring.
Yeah,
That was
thankfully didn't last too long.
It wasn't something I was against or whatever. Like, we've talked about it before, how we really like missile, but it's good that they're moving past that and it doesn't get stuck in a rut.
It's an ensemble show first, really. But I just realized they still haven't resolved the Eagle Man plot. I bet that's going to be some good shit.
Oh, yeah, he's still wandering around. He still has the champion symbol that'll send him back, and he still fucking hates Juland.
Yeah, I bet that'll be after this next episode. I bet they'll go back to that. And I bet that's going to be really fucking interesting, because I liked Eagle Man.
Yeah, me too. And I mean, when Yamato seemed like he was defeated, I was wondering, is Eagle Man going to jump in and save him like he did last time? Because it was all set up for that, but he didn't. He left Yamato to deal with his own shit, or maybe he's like halfway across the fucking country right now. Who knows?
Maybe he's doing some grocery shopping and he can't be fucking bothered right now.
But I'm excited to see where that goes. I'm excited to see where the next episode goes.
Absolutely.
I'm just excited about Juojer.
Me too. You got me hyped. Show. Yeah. All right, Jeff, do you got any emails?
Nope.
Okay, well, we have an email.
We've got some emails.
Okay.
The first one
fucking trying to trick me.
Is from... you're so easily tricked. You have the mind of a tiny Japanese boy.
Yeah, apparently we found that out this week, yeah.
Our first email is from Vac.
Okay.
Who says, "Hey guys, got a fun little question here for you that just popped into my head, and I don't think you've ever been asked. If you could own any screen-used prop from Kamen Rider, or any tokusatsu for that matter, what would it be and why? Personally, I'd either want Captain Marvelous's coat, since Gokaiger is my favorite show of all time, or the White Wizard's staff, since that thing never got a toy and I thought it was pretty cool. Also, Wizard was my first Japanese toku, so nostalgia and stuff. Anyway, I'll be interested to know what you guys want, and I hope you're having a great show this week. Keep up the good work, and as always, I'll see you in the next one." Thanks for that nice email.
That was such a nice email. It was so kind.
It was. What would you want, man, if you could have any prop?
I was thinking about this today, actually, watching X-Aid.
Really?
My holy grail of Kamen Rider props is the Magnavisor, Zolda's gun from Ryuki.
Really?
I really want that fucking gun, and I checked. I was like, it's gotta be up on Mandarake or something. Someone's gotta have a second hand somewhere. No one has it. I don't even know if they made it. I think they gotta have made a toy out of it, for sure. But yeah. Fucking no one has it anywhere. I want that gun so bad. But no one's got it.
But this is about, like, you get the actual prop.
Yeah,
like,
I want that
from
prop.
The set.
I don't care if it's a prop or a toy, I want it. It looks cool.
Okay.
Either that or Oja's scepter. I like that big scepter.
Oh my god, that would be.
Or anything, cool. Actually, fuck. While we're on this, I want one of the bow and arrows that the Energy Riders had from Gaim, because the toy of that was fucking lame.
Oh, yeah, the toy is, like, a foot.
So it's a little tiny, a little tiny Japanese baby toy. I want an actual prop-accurate one. I would have paid any money for that.
I tell you what.
What?
I would want Kuga's Titan Sword.
Oh, yeah.
Like, his rising Titan Sword.
That big
with the gold
thing.
Tip.
Yeah.
I would want that. If I could have any weapon.
Yeah.
But if I could have any prop... from Kamen Rider, I would probably want, the Gatak Zector and Belt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, the actual one.
I got my Gatak... Oh, a real one? I got my Gatak Zector sitting right here.
Yeah, fuck you.
It's beautiful.
Suck a dick. I want that so bad, but I don't have $200 goddamn dollars to drop on it.
Yeah, look, they're not all $200. I just got really unlucky.
Yeah, apparently.
I saw 2 weeks later, I was like, what's on eBay? It was like, Gatak Zector, $49.99, and I almost shot myself that day.
You know what? What I would actually want out of all tokusatsu?
What?
Space Sheriff Gavon's helmet.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would want out of all of it.
That's a pretty good choice. I want Kotaro's jacket, the one he wears in Black RX.
Damn, that's
a
good one,
too. Oh my god, that's the most stylish jacket.
That is a very good one, too. It's very sort of 80s, though.
It's
like really baggy the midsection.
If you design your whole outfit around it, you could pull it, I think.
I guess. If you had the correct high-waisted acid-wash jeans.
Get some acid-washed, maybe some black jeans or something, I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's tough. There's so many cool props throughout tokusatsu history in general, but... I would also like Garo's sword, like the transformed sword.
Yeah.
I love fucking swords.
Yeah, I can tell.
Them. I'm not the kind of dude who has like a katana or whatever, but I love like cool swords and stuff.
Yeah. I know a dude who's got 3 katanas.
And everybody knows a dude who has 3 katanas.
And he was having a house party. So of course, we were hanging around and I was swinging the katanas around with another guy. We were hitting the katanas against each other and I broke the guard off of one.
Oh my god.
I just put it back.
You fucking shithead. You didn't even tell this fedora lord friend of yours that you broke his prized fucking folded 10,000 times.
It was just
katana.
Some cheap shit. It wasn't a real super sword.
Dude, you can cut a Metal Gear Ray in half with that shit.
That's true, yeah. That was one of the things I did, actually, at the party.
Oh, God. Props, though, man. I think that's a good enough answer, because I could go on forever.
Yeah, I'm gonna say one of those Energy Rider bows. I want that so bad.
I'm going to probably say Gavon's helmet.
That's a good choice. Like, have that on, like, a desk or something next to the display. Yeah,
absolutely. Our next question... is from Alfie, who says, congratulations for exercising Kamen Rider Ghost from the podcast. Bah, bah, bah. My question is, what would your ideal Sentai Kamen Rider crossover episode be? I kind of hope the other kind of belt in X8 is related to PC or portable games. Those didn't go together. I was probably supposed to wait until after we answered to say that. But, what is your ideal Sentai Kamen Rider crossover episode?
Ideal Sentai Kamen Rider crossover episode. Oh my god, I never thought about this. For any two?
Yeah.
Like any pair?
I think it means ideal as in, like, what, in general.
In
like,
general.
If they were going to make a new one with two random things, what would you want to happen in it?
Oh god. I would want it to be like an hour-long extravaganza that replaces both episodes.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That would be a requirement for me. I don't know why they didn't do that last year or this year.
I would want it to be like the Gokaiger crossover with Juojir. Just do something like that.
I would
no. Where they already exist in the same universe and they just fucking happen to cross over because they have something in common.
That's good. I like that. But what I would want if I had total control is to make a complete side story, like a beach episode or something, where just like they both happen to go on vacation to the same place.
I want Juojir's to have a beach episode.
Yeah, just as long as Sayla's there, then yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, I just want to see the one character I haven't been able to see nearly naked yet on that show, and it's pissing me off. Yamato needs to take his fucking clothes off.
He can't.
He's too
modest.
Are they fucking attached to him?
He's too modest. Hey, we're talking about toku props. You know that shirt that Yamato has with the red eagle, like... tribal sort of design across it in a diagonal.
Yeah.
I want that shirt so fucking bad.
I want his red ass jacket that he wears all the time. That thing is fucking boss.
That's a nice jacket. Oh boy.
Yeah.
His whole costume is fantastic.
Yeah, he's got a really cool costume. I wouldn't be able to pull off the tassels at the waist like he does.
Absolutely not.
Otherwise.
But yeah, I would want like a half.
By
comedy.
The way, I want to see Amu on the beach. Everybody, that's the real answer to that.
I want a comedy that's not like no high stakes. Just everyone dicking around on the beach. That's what I want.
I want to see a cool action scene with both teams, both like the writer and the team doing some cool action shit together.
Well, that's a shame because you're actually probably gonna get that a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I always get what I want.
Wow.
Well, why don't we talk about the ideal crossover between a Sentai and a Rider?
Like any Sentai and any Rider?
Any Sentai and any Rider.
Ooh.
That's a tough one, I know.
Yeah, that is really tough. Shit. I would want to see Kabuto,
because
he's very serious and he would hate all Sentai, to cross over with Sun Vulcan, because they're the exact opposite of everything the Kavitor is. Yeah. Like, at first you'd be like, oh, they're government agents. But then it's like, oh, they're fucking insane. They're completely bonkers.
You know what? This crossover would either work with Kuga or Oz. And it would be one of those two crossing over with Bokenger. And they'd cross over, like, traveling the world on adventures.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Kuga or Oz would end up in, like, the same area as, like, the Bokengers are going after this ancient artifact or whatever, and he gets drawn into it.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd have, like, a really cool-ass Bokenger-style adventure together.
That'd be fun, looking for some kind of ancient Grongi artifact or something.
Yeah, it would actually probably work better with Kuga.
Yeah.
I think Oz would work as well, since he's a world traveler.
Yeah, so. I could get behind that.
But I think that would be my ideal.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Next question.
Okay, roll it out.
Oh, thanks for writing in, by the way.
Yeah.
Our next question is from Ice Tyrant, who says, I actually have been listening to your show without watching X-Aid. I'll probably get to it soon, though. See, what? I told you, dumbass.
What?
Anyway, if you could have any Kamen Rider series redone by a comic book writer, which writer and which show would you pick and why? Thanks, and keep up the good work. Thanks, Ice Tyrant.
Thanks. I want to see Ghost redone by anyone.
Could you imagine Ghost redone by, like, Mike Mignola? Yeah, Mike Mignola doing Ghost could be fucking spectacular.
Oh, wow.
Like, he would bring in real, like, mysticism and spiritualism and, like, afterlife shit, real ghost story shit. Like, Ghost could be, like, doing real paranormal investigations, and the Ganma could be, like, a new breed of spirit.
Yeah.
That would be sick as fuck. That's my choice right there. That's is Ghost good. Redone by Mike Mignola.
That's pretty good. I would want to see Kamen Rider 1 redone by fucking Alan Moore.
Why?
Because it would become, like, you know how there were little bits in Kamen Rider 1, or like earlier Kamen Rider series, about the horrors of being a cyborg?
Yes.
I think he could really play those up and really, really have a story that really delves into what it means to be not truly a human anymore, and what it would do to a person.
The only problem with that is Alan Moore fucking hates superheroes more than anything on the planet Earth at this point.
We're in dreamland right now.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Kamen Rider 1 redone by the time-displaced team of Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
Oh.
Would be fucking spectacular.
It would be incredible.
That would be amazing. Or, like, John Romita Sr., instead of Jack Kirby, but I don't know. Jack Kirby's better. I would choose Jack Kirby if I could.
Jack Kirby, you'd choose him over anyone, really.
Yeah, I would. But, God, there's so many good ideas that you could do as well.
Imagine Mark Waid doing Drive. I'd watch that. Mm.
I don't know how Mark Waid would handle that, actually.
Some of his stuff has a little bit of a harder edge to it.
Yeah, it does have a little bit, but Mark Waid's like an ensemble writer.
Yeah.
Like, he usually writes teams, but I mean, Drive has enough characters to do that.
Yeah, like I'd totally read that, or watch that, or whatever.
I think it's Reed. Because they're making it into a comic.
Okay.
Yeah, they're making it into a comic.
I'd read that shit.
Like, Mark Waid and, like, I think Alan Hitch is his name.
Mm-hmm.
They did the JLA run during the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
I think that would be pretty fucking sick on, like, Drive.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's tough. There's so many good choices. Oh, well.
Oh.
Again, we could go for fucking ever on that, but my choice is Mike Mignola doing Ghost.
Okay, my choice is Alan Moore on Kamen Rider 1.
Our next email
is
from Copper Popper, who says, yo, it's me again, loving your content. Thanks, buddy.
Hey.
I got into Kamen Rider with Drive, but X-8 is the first series that really clicked with me. I really like it. I like that Sniper flips his stupid toy around like he's Revolver Ocelot or something.
I love that shit.
I love that, too. Thanks for bringing that up. I actually forgot to mention it, but I love it. I wish he did it for, like, another 30 seconds.
Going, like, behind the back and throwing it up over his head and shit.
For a question, what's the easiest way a show can win you over? Any show, writer or otherwise. A dynamic soundtrack that matches scenes does it for me. Keep up the good work.
The easiest way a show can win me over is Tatakai.
Oh my god.
I know I joke.
Even if you're watching, like, fucking Three's Company.
If I'm watching fucking... Even if it's goddamn 2.5 Men or something... If both of the characters start punching the shit out of each other. No, if I'm watching a Toku show, I just want characters to conflict. There's gotta be conflict. It's the basis of TV shows. But I prefer, I know I've said this a million times, but I like shows when writers fight each other versus when writers team up to fight monsters. That's always more interesting to me. So if you can really set that up as that dynamic to have lots of people coming into conflict, even if it's like, not doesn't quite materialize early on, but just the promise of it, that'll pull me in right away, and that's why X8 has me so interested.
A tokusatsu show, what'll pull me in immediately is if the main character isn't a spineless bitch. Like, if they stand up and do their, like, I'm not backing down pose or whatever, and they're transforming and they're actually, like, badass about it.
Yeah.
That'll get me every time. Like, Emu's first transformation, when he does this smirk the first time, won me over a little bit. When a character has, like, a backbone, immediately,
okay,
that'll win me over. All Even right. if, like, down the road, they get that, like, pretense of being a badass smashed. As long as they start out with it and they can continually, like, hold on to it even after it's smashed.
Yeah.
Like, if a character develops in a different way, that's fine, but having that sort of badass, I'm going to stand up for something moment.
Mm.
Especially if it's, like, a heroic thing. Because I think Kamen Rider's at its best when the main character is, like, heroic as fuck and takes no shit.
If you can build up to a moment like that and make it really satisfying, then it can really bring a show home for me.
Oh, yeah. I will say that the thing that almost lost me immediately in X8 is they started doing that dumbass drive jump cut joke shit where, like, they start cutting really fast where they're, like, popping around the screen.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain, but I fucking hate that.
Me too.
And that almost lost me.
Well,
in any show, though, a character that I can immediately like. Like, a lot of shows have characters in them that you don't like at all, and that's every character. Like, who do you like on The Sopranos?
I've never watched The Sopranos.
Or who do you like on Breaking Bad?
I've never watched Breaking Bad.
I mean, to begin with, Walter White is a likable character, but that changes. But it's a character that you, you don't have to feel like you have anything in common with, but you just like.
Yeah.
It could even be, like, a piece of shit or something who's really, like, charismatic.
Well, like Tendo. He's an asshole, but, like, I love him as a character.
Yeah, and I mean, Kagami's there as a really likable character, a likable fuck-up.
Yeah.
And, X8 doesn't do that great of a job of setting Emu up as a likable fuck-up, because it doesn't pay that much attention to it. He just sort of falls a lot.
He trips, yeah.
But, I mean, he's still likable in other ways.
Yeah.
Like, speaking of liking a character even if they're, like, a huge fucking dickhole, I'm going to talk about Star Trek for a second. Suck a dick. There's a character on Star Trek Deep Space Nine named Gul Dukat, who is basically, like, Space Hitler.
Okay.
But he's super charismatic and, like, has this really dry, mean sense of humor that makes everyone who's ever watched the show like him. He's a very likable character, even though he's a fucking horrible villain.
Yeah.
So it's that sort of likability. Like, a lot of modern shows make all the characters shitty and you can't like them. So, P.S. Jeff, I wasn't hurt by you saying Ghost Opening was bad. I just wanted to let you know that you have shit taste.
Thank you. Thank you.
We've received a lot of messages like this, which lets me know that the general public still has terrible taste.
No. Thank you so much.
He said, also, I saw an article calling Amazon's the sequel to Masked Rider, which is hilarious. And that is...
That is good. Amazon's... That's something I forgot to mention. That Kamen Rider, all Kamen Rider Revolution game, fucking Jin and Haruka are in it.
Really?
Which really, they don't fit at all in the wider Kamen Rider universe, but there they are.
They really don't fit there at all, but whatever. A whole different fucking tone and everything.
Yeah.
We think, therefore, we are as shit.
No.
Our next question is from Jake.
So the way you said, our next question is from, it's Jake.
No, I was scrolling down to see where he said, Jake. Like, a lot of people have a different name in the title than they want us to say.
Fucking Jake.
God damn it. Jake, I like you, okay? I don't like Liam, but I like you.
Oh, you love me.
Hey, RCR, thanks for reading my email last time. I just wanted to clarify that glitchy bit I was asking about was when the screen goes, see you next game.
Yeah,
I
thought
for sure
this
week it was going to have yellow coloring since it was Snipes episode, but I guess the color doesn't matter. Still loving the podcast. He writes us a lengthy email here talking about what he enjoyed about this episode. He liked Taiga a lot.
Mm.
He liked Bang Bang Shooting.
I do like that,
too. Bang Bang Critical Finish.
Mm.
He thought Taiga was going to shoot ammo in the back because he's a huge douche.
Oh, he will. Hasn't happened yet, but he will.
And he really likes how he refers to ammo as Genius Gamer or XA, nothing else.
Yeah, I feel like when he says Genius Gamer, it's a bit sarcastic.
Yeah, he said sarcastically.
Yeah.
In this email. I hope he continues being an antagonistic jerk and clashing with the writers of Cyber Rescue.
Yes.
I also love how this week's episode hammers in home how Ammo is our main hero and the only actual good guy. That's true. Good job of showing that the other writers are shitholes.
That's exactly what I want out of this show. The one good guy in a sea of dicks.
That's what I want too, actually.
Drowning in penises.
My question this time around is, one, if you guys were writers and would have to have a characteristic gesture or tick, what would it be? I'm a big fan of those ticks like Takumi or Shotaro flicking their wrists, Oja cracking the kinks out of his neck, and most recently, Emu blowing the dust out of the gachet before he loads it back in for the finisher.
Yeah.
Not sure how legitimate this is, but I read online that the suit actor ad-libbed that part in, which I think is really cool.
That is fucking brilliant.
It really is. It's fucking amazing. For all of our viewers under 12, I'm sure there's a lot of you. Back in the day, when we used cartridges, you had to blow in them to get the dust out before they would work sometimes.
Back in the Super Nintendo days.
Back in the Nintendo days.
Back in the regular Nintendo days.
What about it, man? What would your characteristic gesture be?
Honestly, I cracked the kinks out of my neck a lot. Like, just regular. Like, I remember one time I did it in a lecture hall back when I was in university, and it was so loud that the dude next to me was like, dude, are you alright? Like, it was like, and like, the whole fucking room heard it. And this dude was like, hey, is your neck okay, dude? So I'd probably end up doing something like that.
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
I think, I might do the, meteor thing where he rubs his thumb under his nose like Bruce Lee.
Oh, the Bruce Lee flick, yeah.
Because I do that a lot.
Do you?
Especially when I'm sick, but most of it became a habit because I was sick a lot for a while, so I guess I do it all the time now.
Yeah.
I also crack my wrists, so flicking the wrist might be a good one too. But I don't know. I think I roll both of my shoulders back a lot, like to crack the shoulder blades.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess doing that. Like, looking away, doing that, and then looking back and going at it.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That might be mine.
That'd be a good little, body tick.
Two, any favorites or a character you find really fun among the Death Galleons, including Bungle?
Oh my god. If I had to pick a favorite, I'd say Kubar. He's the most interesting right now.
Really? Yeah. My favorite's Azald, because I find him hilarious. Yeah. He's just got this really overbearing, loudmouth personality, and he thinks he's the manliest, most badass guy.
I like the way Azeld moves. Like, just the way he walks, you can see his whole character in it.
Yeah, he walks around. Like he thinks he's a huge badass, and he has to, like, walk like one at all times.
He spreads his whole body out.
So I like him.
Yeah, I'm going to say Kubar.
I actually like Naria a lot as well, because she has, like, this... like, angry secretary personality.
Yeah.
Where she, like, really admires and looks up to Genis, but, like, she thinks everyone else is a huge fucking idiot, and she's constantly angry with them.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fun personality. for a second in command.
Yeah, Nari is pretty fun.
Reminds me of the Secretary Natasha from Super Paper Mario.
I did not play Super Paper Mario.
It's alright. It's got a really good story. The game's not as good as, like, Thousand Year Door.
Yeah, I played Thousand Year Door. That was good.
Question three. Do you think there's any chance Eagle Man Kaiza will end up becoming a Juojir since he still has the champion symbol?
You know,
it's not unheard of for a Super Sentai team to have a seventh ranger.
I've seen a scan.
Uh-oh.
I'll say no more.
But you just gave it away then.
I'm not going to give away what it looks like or what it is.
What I've a seen a shitter. Scan. You're going to have to show me this scan.
I've seen a
after
scan.
We're done.
All right.
I think he is going to become a Juo man. That's mine.
Okay.
Don't confirm or deny.
I won't.
And he finishes the email out by saying, keep up the great work as always, you two. And as the X8 episode's closers would say, see you next game.
What great work.
So thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you'd like to have your emails read out on the show, you got to send it to riderclubradio@gmail.com.
Or you can have a Twitter read out on the show. You can tweet at us at Rider Club Radio, and also we tweet a lot of funny stuff, and we retweet a lot of funny stuff, and it's just an amazing experience, so.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Liam had been, like, tweeting a shit ton of funny stuff while I wasn't paying attention, so now I've jumped on and I've started doing the same thing.
It's
so
a contest.
We tweet pretty fucking regularly now.
It's a contest to see you can get the most retweets out of a dumb image.
That's true. My Dr. Pac-Man image is overcasting yours right now.
You know what? I still have the Juojir GIF. I reign supreme for now.
Nothing can ever defeat the fucking Juojir GIF. I'm not even trying for that one. That one's first place. We're jockeying for second.
It's untouchable.
Right, it still gets retweeted. But anyway, send us an email, shoot us a tweet, and we'll talk to you like you're part of the crew.
Maybe.
Crew of two.
We'll see.
So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Fuck off.
鏡なんて